Well, this is kind of funny. You know, I'm a service leader and I'm a speaker, so I'll be introducing myself, you know, which is kind of funny. But anyway, the way we're going to do it is, as I'm giving a broader picture, more general picture, I'll be speaking first, and then Joanne is going to personalize it, eh? That was the plan, anyway. We'll see what happens. So, Joanne Green has been a Unitarian for most of her life, and a member of our Regina Unitarian Congregation for 20 years. Attending public schools in Calgary meant mandatory recitation of the Lord's Prayer every day. Her family struggled with this narrow expression of faith, and in 1958 joined the Unitarian Church in Calgary, where they discovered there were alternatives to traditional Christian faiths. Freedom of religious expression and protection of human rights have been important cornerstones in Joanne's life ever since. Striving to live according to our Unitarian principles is a day-to-day task for all. Joining with other Unitarians in our search for inspiration and guidance in life has been both important and necessary. Serving our Unitarian community has meant using her work background in architectural technology to help keep the Unitarian Center dry and safe for all. Other contributions have included fundraising, coordinating conferences, and serving on the board. And then Helen Christensen, well, what can I say? I think the things that, for me, that are important as, I was born in Montreal, I lived in France, and so forth and so on, but I came here, and I'm married to that guy, wave that guy, Bruno. We've been together for 40 years, so that's a while. Anyway, I think what I wanted to share with you is that I have been a teacher all my life. I started teaching in 1969. I'm still teaching. I'm volunteering at the library. And I have taught from age 3 to PhD in 4 countries, in the Netherlands, in France, in England, in India. And also, I've spent some time in Cameroon, but that was teaching people to teach French. So I've done it all, I guess. And I'm still doing it. Isn't that wonderful? Changing hats here. Okay. I've been an English volunteer teacher and tutor at the library, Central Library, for over 10 years. On Monday afternoons, I teach a drop-in class, and on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday afternoons, I am available to tutor individuals. That's worked out in a kind of a funny way. I've been working with my Friday person for nearly 2 years now, but my Wednesday and Thursday people keep changing as circumstances in their lives change. So, for instance, I was working with a Syrian couple, and on Thursdays they were with me for a while, and then they both got accepted into SAS Polytechnic, so of course they left. And that's the kind of thing that happened. This week I met a new student on Wednesday. She is from Sudan. I'll say more about this later. Right now, I want to give you an overview of what's happening at the Central Library and 4 branches, Glen Elm, which is Dudney Avenue East, Regent Place, North Albert Street, Sherwood Village Branch, Rochdale Boulevard, and Sunrise Branch, which is on East Woodhams Drive. And all of that, by the way, the volunteering and so forth, all of that is central to the Central Library, the Literacy Center. Those are the people who direct that. Here's the calendar for the month of September. And there's a calendar given out every month. So Central Library, for learners who want to attend, there's a Monday afternoon, Monday evening, Tuesday evening, Wednesday afternoon, Thursday evening, Saturday morning, and Saturday afternoon classes that are offered, and they're an hour and a half each. The Glen Elm branch on Dudney Avenue East has a class on Thursday evenings. Regent Place, Albert Street, Wednesday evening, Saturday morning. Sherwood Village, Friday afternoon. Sunrise Branch, Tuesday evening and Thursday afternoon. So there's quite a lot that is offered. The number of people allowed in the classes is restricted by fire regulations. I don't know about the branches, but at the Central Library, where I tutor a group session every Monday afternoon, the limit is 10 people in the room. including the instructor, so that means 9 students. Most of the time, that's not a problem, but on occasion, I've had to turn people away. You know, I close the door and somebody knocks, and I have to say, sorry, and I feel terrible about that. But they don't have any bigger rooms in the library, so what can you do? Central Library is presently offering a 30-week course in IELTS, and that's pronounced IELTS, but the initials are IELTS, and that stands for International English Language Testing System. It is a test for foreign university graduates. Passing the IELTS, or the IELTS, is absolutely essential for any professional from another country who wants to requalify in Canada, so engineers and physicians and so on. And it costs $300 to take the test. And if you fail it, you have to wait 6 months and, you know, you don't get your money back, eh? Right now, there are 230 tutors at the Regina libraries, all of them. And David Paul, who isn't here today because he's visiting his grandkids, so I guess that's a good excuse, eh? He is also a tutor at the library. He usually sits out there. So 230 tutors. Many of them, like me, are matched with more than one learner. And at the present time, there are 241 tutor-learner matches. It can be a little bit tricky getting people together. Literacy Services spends a great deal of time on this, phone calls and emails, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, until you finally get things. Right now, there are 290 potential learners on the waiting list. So anybody here who would like to become a tutor would certainly be welcome at the library. Just a second. Now, put this open. Yes, I picked up... I'm dropping everything here, but that's okay. I picked up a few of these, become a volunteer tutor. You have to have a grade 12 diploma, submit 2 reference letters and a criminal record check, and complete the ESL tutor training. And they even have it online. So they try to make it as easy as possible, but on the same, on the other hand, you can't just have anybody walk in and tutor. They want people to be prepared. So, anybody would be welcome. There is a brief training course and lots of support from Literacy Services. And one of the things that I have enjoyed in the years that I've been working, volunteering at the library, they make you feel so welcome and they're so grateful. And so you feel good, you know? I think that's a pretty good tactic of theirs, eh? I mean, every time I go to the library, I leave feeling good, so I'll come back again, won't I? So, Syrian refugees attend RODS, Regina Open Door Society, for basic English classes. They have the right, all new people coming to Canada, permanent residents, have the right of 1,800 hours of English classes. Those are free. Up to now, Syrian refugees have been settling in Regina and learning how to function in our cities. They began in hotel rooms, but now RODS has managed to get them all into apartments. And I was talking to somebody at the library and the literacy services, and they were saying that RODS is really starting to have a problem because they're now going to set up a fourth building. They've got 3 buildings downtown. They're going to have to get a fourth one, and it becomes complicated in terms of, you know, organizing people and so forth. Recently, Syrians have begun registering with the library. So all learners who want tutors have to register. At the present time, there are 46 Syrians registered and waiting for tutors. I've been tutoring at the Central Library since 2005, the year I retired from the University of Regina, and over the years I've met many interesting people, mostly from Africa or China. All of the Africans I've met, either in my Monday class or as individuals I have tutored, are black women. Most haven't had very much schooling. Many are barely able to read and write, and most have come from very dangerous places. The young Somalian woman I've been working with for nearly 2 years is here with her mother and her sisters, as well as her sister's children. There's only one man around. The other men, sister's husbands and their fathers, were killed as they fled from one country to another before ending up in Canada as refugees. This young woman has almost no schooling, but she wants to go to university someday. And I took her around the university a couple of weeks ago to inspire her. We've done a lot of work on English and on the Canadian citizenship test preparation. A couple of weeks ago, I took her on a tour of the University of Regina, and now we've started working on the GED. The General Education Diploma is a course that you do. You have to take an exam, which gives you, you know, the equivalent of schooling. And I brought this book. All we have to do is get through this book. Okay? I wanted you to see it. Okay? I should pass it around so that you could pick it up and see how much. There are 777 pages, and it covers everything. So it covers... I should have put a mark in here, but I didn't. Anyway, just a minute. Here we have it. Okay, here we go. Language arts, writing, social studies, Canadian history and world history, economics, geography, science, earth and space, physical, nonfiction, drama, poetry, mathematics, algebra, geometry, and so forth and so on. So all we have to do now, we're starting this, is once we finish this book, she'll be able to take the GED. And she believes that she can do it. If she believes she can do it, I believe she can do it. The only thing is I'm getting a little bit older now. I don't know if I'll still be able to tutor her when I'm 90, but I'll keep trying. The Chinese students that I have met are quite different. Many of them have a university education and were professionals in China. Their English grammar is, on the whole, quite good. And they usually get very high marks in English grammar check. What they lack, however, are equivalent communication skills, especially in writing. They can't write essays. They can't put, so they have no communication. Sandra, you're nodding. I think you've met some people like that, too. Many can't write a simple essay, and they don't have the cultural skills to write an application letter. You know, when you're applying for a job, it's the format of your application depends on, you know, your culture. So I work with that. And then finally, many professions require some kind of Canadian training. For instance, I recently said goodbye to a Chinese doctor I had tutored for almost 2 years. We were working on the IELTS preparation, the English test for foreign university graduates I mentioned earlier. And by the way, all foreign university graduates have to take the IELTS. They can't take the regular test. They're not allowed to do that. Upon inquiry, so she was looking into, she learned that she'd have to spend 2 years in Edmonton to requalify as a physician in Canada, or 1 year in Saskatoon to qualify as a midwife. She could do neither, because she's married with a young child. She could hardly leave her child behind, and her husband, also a professional, already has a job here in Regina. So that was it. Finally, my new Sudanese student has a great deal of difficulty reading English, and I've just met her, so I'm just trying to figure it out. Her first language is Arabic. I look forward to our time together, so I'm trying to teach her to read English. And next month, I'll start with a new Chinese student who is out of the country at the moment, so I don't know anything about her. So there you have it. I hope this gives you a bit of a picture of EAL tutoring at the library. English is an additional language. Before I close, however, I want to tell you how much I enjoy volunteering at the library. I know I'm helping people. That's always a good feeling. But I also find tutoring very stimulating. I'm a second language education expert. My PhD is in second language teacher education. So I know I can solve my learner's problem. I know I've got it in here. The challenge is how to do it at any particular time. How do I solve this problem now? And that is the part that is very stimulating. In 2015, I was awarded the Saskatchewan Literacy Award of Merit for volunteer service. To be publicly recognized was fantastic. Yet, every time a learner looks at me with eyes that show she has understood something we're working on, is even more special, and that's the joy of volunteering. So, Joanne, your turn. I'll just clear the deck here. few of these. I'll just put them at the back.
So if you didn't catch that, Helen will put those leaflets at the back. So thank you very much, Helen, for sharing your knowledge and stories. I love the way you personalize it with stories about the students you've been working with and how it's affecting their life. It's great. Thank you. And as Helen has said, and as I'm discovering, of course, English skills are so important for new Canadians. I have a few stories to illustrate that in a perhaps more day-to-day way. But my information is based on just a few months' experience, unlike Helen. I've just gotten into this. So I want to start with a story from a book of stories by a man named Ponziano Aluma. And some of you may have seen him selling his books at Chapters and other locations. Originally from Kenya, Ponziano spent 6 years in a refugee camp in the Sudan, South Sudan, before coming to Canada. His stories talk about the day-to-day challenges encountered by newcomers, and particularly learning our culture and customs. The stories are amusing while illustrating the gaps in knowledge that many newcomers have. For example, when we need to change a flat tire on a car, those of us who still do that, most of us know that our spare tire is called a donut. You know, those little spare tire things that don't really look like a full tire. So imagine coming from Africa or the Middle East and you're looking for help and somebody says, well, look for the donut in your car to change your tire. You know, it doesn't mean anything to them. So while searching for some inspiration for this today, I looked at the book of stories again. And the author of the story said, you can never give too much information to newcomers. For when you think or feel that they already know something that is so familiar and second nature to you, it might just be that they do not actually know what you thought they knew or ought to have known. That's a very long sentence, but anyway. I also reread an article by Reverend Frances Deverell, a Unitarian minister, in which she talks about social justice as spiritual practice. I know other people have talked about this or thought about this too. She quoted another minister, Reverend Jen Crow, who in the U.S., who says, she asks us to live at the intersection of spiritual development and social justice. Reverend Crow believes that the development of an authentic mission and message comes when others see us living out our values, living lives of integrity, service and joy, creating authentic change in our world. So that's a pretty tall order. When I look around the world, the problems just seem insurmountable. How can one or even thousands of people have an effect on war or famine or injustice? I know there are really extraordinary individuals who can actually influence change. Most of the time, though, we're raising money for some band-aid solution, but we don't really change the political situation. When I think about helping a family leave a refugee camp and settle in Regina, it feels like I'm making a worthwhile contribution, small though it is. The idea that we need to live our lives, live our values, lives of integrity, service, and joy speaks to me quite strongly. And I had forgotten how wordy I got in that introduction I sent to Helen. So, sorry, I'm repeating myself a bit. For many years, I've supported the work of the UN High Commission for Refugees with financial donations, which is easy as long as there's money to give away. The UN Refugee Agency estimates there are over 19 million refugees worldwide and another 38 million internally displaced persons around the world. The situation is worse than after World War II. With the push to admit Syrian refugees into Canada last fall, it seemed that many Regina residents felt they were also needing to do something. Last October, I decided that one of the ways to live my values was to work with the Multi-Faith Forum on a refugee sponsorship project. Four of us went to a meeting last October and promised that the Unitarians would raise money for the project, and then I somehow or other ended up going to meetings. I don't know how that happens, but I thought about my comfortable life, and I just couldn't turn away. The Regina Multi-Faith Forum hopes to build bridges between faith groups and do something practical at the same time with the sponsorship project. So in early February, it was determined we would work with the Roman Catholic Archdiocese in Regina, which is a sponsorship agreement holder. And they have a special section, or what, I don't know what you'd want to call it, where it's devoted specifically to refugee sponsorship. And one of them told me they focus specifically on Muslim, Jewish, and Christian refugees, something about the sons of Abraham, and I apologize to people who know more about this than I do. Anyway, the sponsorship agreement holders are entities that are already approved by the Canadian government to sponsor refugees. And the refugees are referred to the different governments by the UN High Commission for Refugees. The Archdiocese already had the names of two families that needed sponsors, related families. So our group accepted a sponsorship for a group of five. Naif, his wife Amun, daughter Hilala, and her children Shammai and Tala have been living in a Lebanese refugee camp for almost 3 years. They don't know what happened to the children's father, but assume he's dead. The family fled Syria after their home was destroyed in bombing. They have no money, no documents, and don't speak any English. Naif and his family do have relatives here in Regina who have been in Canada for almost 2 years. There's a second related family currently in a Jordanian refugee camp, and they're also partway through the process. They'll be sponsored by a second group from St. Martin's and Christ the King parishes. To begin with, my involvement was simply attending meetings and seeking donations. Eventually, I promised to be part of the steering committee subgroup on health and education, and we started research. We learned about the federal interim health program, English as additional language supports in the community, Regina housing apartments for low-income residents, and much more. In early spring, our group was approached to help an Orthodox Christian family already in Regina. Their sponsoring relative wasn't able to meet their needs, and they turned to the Multi-Faith Forum for help. The family is from Latakia, which is a seaside city in Syria, not far from Aleppo. In fact, the second oldest Christian church in the world is in the husband's Syrian home village near Latakia. Antoinette's sister lives in Aleppo with her family, and she's had no contact with her sister for a long, long time. Their apartment had no windows left. They had very little food. Their child had some medical problem that they couldn't get the medication for. I mean, we've seen it on the television. We know what it looks like. That, I think that's what makes it more immediate, is we see pictures, we know what it looks like. We've been told by this family that Aleppo is the oldest city in the world, the oldest continuously occupied city in the world. It's a crossroads for travel from Europe to the Middle East, from Asia to Europe and so on. There was a great tolerance for people from all faiths and walks of life. And that's all gone. Some of the members from the Multi-Faith Forum group helped the family find rental accommodations, purchased beds, and we arranged with Naomi Ness Creek for delivery of some furnishings. She and I will help Regina did that. During the process, we learned just how many obstacles there are for newcomers. Learning the expectations around rentals, learning about buses, obtaining driver's licenses, finding schools, the list is endless. It's a challenge for the family because they can't read English. They're learning to speak English fairly well, but they can't read it. We think they're embarrassed to admit that they can't understand their mail. For example, when a bill arrives from the city and it isn't paid in a timely manner, then there's another letter advising they need to pay or they might be evicted. And this letter comes from Sask Housing. But they've been too embarrassed to ask somebody in, you know, a Canadian for help. Eventually, the challenges have met, but sometimes just with good luck. Somebody happens to go over and they, oh, we have this letter, and it says, oh, yes, you better pay your bill. Gradually, my involvement has increased. I've started organizing communications within the sponsor group. We're also organizing furnishings, car seats, health coverage, winter clothing, translators, bank accounts, and many other details. We've met with the second sponsor group and the Syrian relatives already in Regina. We've also had some direct contact with Naif in Lebanon through one of our own group members. He's from Algeria, and he's a prof at the university. So he's able to speak directly to that person. We've learned many Saskatchewan websites can be translated into Arabic or any other language for that matter. They have a link for Google Translator, and with just the click of a button, you can change that page into Arabic or French or whatever you need. We've learned the federal government will cover some health needs, such as glasses for a year, but they don't cover insulin. It's very bizarre. They'll cover medications for public health threats, but not insulin. There's quite a long process for a family to be approved for travel, and that's one where we really can't do much about. Once the UNHCR staff determine whether their application can be referred to the government, there are interviews with Canadian immigration staff in Lebanon or Jordan or wherever the camps are. Medicals are arranged, and finally, the family will be told they can travel. Once they're given permission to travel, another organization takes over, which arranges the actual travel and visas and so on. And the government gives them a loan for travel, which they're supposed to start repaying within 30 days of their arrival. Here we have this $8,000 bill. There's no jobs, but they're supposed to start repaying this loan. It's incredible. The multi-faith sponsor group will assist the family to find English classes, shop for food and clothing, pay rent and utilities until they can do it themselves, help them understand about recycling, and so on. Every time we need to show them how to pay bills online or get on the bus or take their daughter to school, we'll need a translator for the first few months anyway. Thankfully, we have a large group in the Islamic Association who are ready to help. So there's an Islamic Association, and then there are a couple of mosques who are ready to give volunteers too. And then, of course, there's somebody who needs to organize the translators and organize the other things. And it's quite a big commitment, and the Canadian Unitarian Council also has sponsored many refugees through various congregations in the country, and they describe it as a multi-year commitment, not just a 12-month commitment. And as Helen has said, there's the EAL classes offered by many organizations. So thankfully, we have a lot of volunteers, and it's a little daunting to think about the level of commitment. It's like assuming a family, you know, and if you have a daughter or a son and they need special help, well, you know how time-consuming that can be sometimes. So then multiply that by five and put a language barrier in, and that's what we're heading into. It's kind of scary. And I'll be busy. But thank you. Yes, thank you. Do people have questions? Yes, okay. Let us know who you're talking to, too.
Okay.
I think Myris was first.
Jill here first.
Well, I think Myra's got her hand up first.
Okay. There you go.
Oh, thank you. First of all, how do you explain these ancient civilizations are having all these problems now? And secondly, when these new Canadians come, to get their citizenship, do they have to take English and do they have to have a degree of literacy to get their citizenship?
Well, the first part of your question I couldn't possibly answer. That's well beyond my knowledge. As far as the citizenship tests, absolutely, they need to have literacy, and they study for that quite hard. Most of them that I've met probably know more about our history than I do.
I just wanted to say something. I have prepared people for their citizenship exam, and the booklet is just incredible. You know, you're supposed to learn everything about it. It is written in an English that would be university level, you know. So I end up having to explain things and so forth and so on. It's very challenging. And if you fail the citizenship test, you can't take it for another 6 months, and you have to pay for it.
Yes, I don't want to sound like my friend Donald Trump, but we are incredibly ignorant about our military affairs. I just want to point out that this whole business in the Middle East has been American foreign policy for the last 20 years to destroy 7 countries. All you have to do is go on the Internet and look up Project for a New American Century by Crystal and Kagan and Securing the Realm by Richard Pearl.
Okay, Joe, first of all, this isn't the topic we're on, and I personally would like to stop this right here. If you have a question about literacy or welcoming people here, well, it's about welcoming those refugees here.
Yeah, but we're creating the refugees. That's just my point of view. It's our government who are creating those refugees right this minute. Our military tax dollars are being used to create those refugees, and that's my point.
Okay.
Hi. Which way? This way? Thanks. That's an interesting talk, both of them. I'd like to know if there is some kind of organizational commitment to refugee support by the fellowship. I'm not clear on what that is, if there is something. Like, did the fellowship say we want to do stuff or what?
Last fall, the four of us that went to the meeting, and if there's somebody else that wants to answer that, like Ethel or Carol, but four of us went to this meeting in October, and we just agreed to make a commitment for financial donation. The participation that I'm undertaking is my personal commitment. I'm not. If somebody from the Social Action Committee has anything to add, no.
Like Joanne said, the group that went to the original meeting last fall made a commitment and said the Unitarians could raise at least $2,000 through the generosity of those four people and others. Since then, we've gone well over that. It just escapes me exactly right now, but contributions that came in for the refugee fund from the members here, members and friends, I think is well over $3,000, maybe $4,000.
Last question.
Yep, I'm coming.
To be last.
There you go.
No, I was just wondering, when we were talking about language requirements, it's either English or French for Canadian citizenship, and I'm wondering, do we have French language tutors to even part of the extent that we have English here, or how does that work?
My first answer is I don't know, but I will take a guess. I have a feeling, and maybe somebody else knows, that there are some classes or some things offered at the university. Is that it, Bruno? Oh, come up and speak here. People can't hear you.
Thank you, young lady.
Thank you, Karen. Yes, you do have organization linked to the French community in Regina. There is a Francophone community linked to churches, and they have they of course is linked to the university, who offers new immigrants to speak French or better French and give them courses as well. So it is available if you want to learn French. Now, when you go to the citizenship, obviously, if French is not your first language, you would ask for the English, and that's usually what's happening, and that's the case. Yeah. Dio, do you have anything else? Tu as autre chose à ajouter? Dio, tu as autre chose à ajouter? Par rapport aux cours qui sont donnés en français, non? Ta-da. Okay, merci.
Well, now I'm supposed to thank the speakers, but you know what? I thought we gave a pretty broad picture, you know? But I think there's one thing that comes out of that. We all need more help. So if you want to volunteer anywhere, there are lots of interesting things to do, and it's a good feeling helping people.